Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to Ask the Pastor. I'm Jim Simmons, and on tonight's program, we will continue in our unusual study of the letter by the Apostle Paul to the man known as Philemon. It is a little-known book of the New Testament that very few people ever discuss. The book has a lot to teach us. Speaking of teaching, here is the pastor of Ask the Pastor, author, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Charles Lyons. Doctor? How are you this evening?
Well, very fine, Jim, and I thank you for that gracious introduction, and certainly join you in welcoming our listeners tonight to our program, Ask the Pastor. And we're very excited to realize that we are going through a stage where we will be completely upgrading and completely redoing our website. So if you all want to see the before, you can go to askthepastornow.com. Sometime between now and next week and see the before, so that perhaps later you'll be truly amazed at whatever improvements we will be able to accomplish. But tonight, we're equally excited to realize we'll be wrapping up a study we've been doing in the book of Philemon, as Jim has already mentioned. And we've been doing that now for 2 weeks already. And this evening, we take a slightly different approach. Although, to be honest, I think our entire approach to the book may be a little different, a little fresh. Perhaps you've never even experienced a study in this book before. So all that together made it fresh. But what we'll be doing tonight is a little different in that we will be taking the lessons, doing one final recap, and then look for some very practical applications in the local church. A way that we can take the material we've been studying, the concepts that the Apostle Paul used in dealing with the gentleman, and dealing with a person who is a new convert that has gone through a great deal, and taking all that together, we're going to take that and look for the ways that we can relate to that in the local church. Actually, we believe there's multiple ways that it can happen, this sort of a shell there that we can apply and use it to help people advance, whether it's in their career or music, or a lot of different opportunities are there. So we're going to open that door, let you see in, and hopefully provide some resources that may be a true benefit. So, as we begin tonight, let's do it the right way. Jim, if you'd be so kind as to open us in prayer this evening.
Sure. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to study your word. Father, we ask you to superintend this study tonight. Give, I pray, Dr. Lyons clear direction and the exact words you would have him deliver. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and our minds. Lord, you know our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but actually put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, tonight we wrap up our study of the book of Philemon. Now, if you missed the preceding week's broadcast, you may not be familiar with the lessons of Philemon. Yet, I can assure you that it is very much a significant book of the Bible. It is a book with a message and one that may surprise you. It is short, and yet we're devoting three programs to it. So we hope, if you've not heard the two preceding segments, you would go back and listen to those from our archives. Now, what makes the book so special? It talks about relationship. It talks about opportunities. And it even has something we can learn about job opportunities. But first, here is some information about something you might appreciate.
The best thing that ever happened in your life was accepting Jesus Christ. Now learn about the one who saved you and what being saved really means. Ask the Pastor has a great teaching series titled, Jesus, Salvation and Eternal Security. The series comes in a convenient binder with 6 compact discs for your personal study. We trust that you'll find these lessons a great blessing. You can gain a better understanding of Jesus' sacrifice, His resurrection, and the salvation, justification, and grace that is available. Order your set at www.rightlions.com. That's www.rightlions.com. Don't delay. Order your set today.
Be the first to know about Synergos resources. Sign up on the first line of the program description. Resources are under development now. So, now without further delay, let's join Dr. Lyons as we begin our study titled Synergos: How Can the Church Restore People and Positions, Part 3.
And Part 3 of the study of Philemon is one that we have sort of stepped out of and looked at ways to take the lessons, the examples, the studies from the book of Philemon and apply them into the local church to individual believers. And I think that's what gives this lesson strength. Certainly any time that we can spend opening the Word of God, sharing it together, studying and finding out what God has to say to us is special. But I think the real power and strength begins to come into play once you take it and look to apply it, whether it's to the individual life or into the local church. That is so very, very important. So if you're tuned in with us for the first time out of these 3 weeks tonight, again, we encourage you to go back and listen to the archives to hear the 2 preceding messages. But to give you a very brief synopsis, the book of Philemon is a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul that had been written to a rather wealthy Christian known as Philemon. And however you pronounce his name, the important thing is to realize that he was a person of recognition in the community, and yet he had come to know Christ at a time when standing for Christ usually came with a rather high cost. And in spite of his position in the community, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He had had a good teacher in Paul. And what he had done is to not only allow people to come to his home to know more about Christ, but he was very active in another individual who actually was hosting the church in his home. So there were, obviously he was very public about his faith, a good testimony in any time, especially in a time when there's persecution taking place. But Philemon had, in essence, been shamed. It was a time when there were people owning slaves. He had a slave, in fact, probably several. This one individual, a man by the name of Onesimus, who the very name means profitable, and yet had become very unprofitable in that home. He had stolen Philemon, disrupted the home, and fled. And the next time we come in contact with Onesimus, we find that he has been imprisoned in a Roman jail. The same jail, in fact, the Apostle Paul was being held in. And so the Apostle Paul is literally a prisoner, chained and bound, a Roman guard to one side. And apparently Onesimus was either chained to the other or certainly chained in the same general area so that they could have communication, talk, and share. Onesimus by this time is undoubtedly very bitter, very angry, frustrated, defeated. However, the Apostle Paul has time. And with that time, he uses it to share the gospel of Christ, the gospel of forgiveness and understanding, restoration, to one man called Onesimus. Undoubtedly, he reached others, but we know about this one in particular. And over time, Onesimus moves from profitable, or rather unprofitable, back to profitable. So he is a blessing to Paul. He ministers to Paul. He's an encouragement. But Paul also realizes, as he learns of his story, that there has been a time when he was unprofitable, even stolen, disruptive to Philemon, who he also has a great relationship with. And so he writes a letter that is to be carried back to Philemon. And Philemon, as we would do if we got a letter from somebody of high profile, especially in the case of a believer getting a letter from someone who was a high-profile believer, maybe anything from a Billy Graham to a Jack Van Impe or, you know, maybe even a Jim Simmons, who knows. But you get that letter and you're excited. You draw all your friends together. You want them to share in the moment as you read out this letter. Ironically, it was delivered by Onesimus. And you can imagine Philemon probably had very mixed blessings about even seeing this guy. Probably had visions of seeing him definitely prosecuted for what he had done. But first, he reads the letter. And the letter is a prime example of diplomacy as a believer. Paul shows kindness. He shows respect to Philemon. He recalls to him how much he has valued his life and their relationship, his standing in the Christian community, his willingness to witness. And over a short period, he begins to relate in the letter how he wishes Philemon to do him a great honor. He says, in essence, he would, you know, almost would have kept Onesimus to himself, but he sent him back to Philemon. He sends him back because he realizes that the blessing he has been to Paul, he can be to Philemon, and it's not his right to hold on to him. I can only imagine how Philemon must have felt at that moment. This man that he had little more than contempt for has become a blessing, and more importantly, a brother in Christ. So perhaps with an audience around the room watching to see what his reaction will be, the letter tells us that Paul asks him to receive him and accept him as he would Paul. And if there's anything that he feels he's owed, charge it off to Paul and their relationship. And he even then goes on to suggest that, by the way, I look forward to the day that I might be able to come and spend some time there and see if you can't find me a place to stay. The reality is, historically, we now know that Paul really only had a little time left before he would be taken by the Romans and put to death. Paul realized this as well. And I think perhaps Philemon did as well. But there was a healing that was taking place there, a relationship that was being built between Paul, that we refer to as a koinonos, a synergos, Onesimus, the one who had been led from unprofitable to profitable, and Philemon, the one who was a resident of the town of Colossae, a convert of Paul's. You see, the reason I've referred to Paul as a synergos is there is a relationship, an exchangement of words and terms that are used in the text. And I encourage you to go back to Lesson 1 and Lesson 2 to better understand that. But Paul at some points refers to some people that have been a real helper. And those are people that the word he uses implies they helped him on the project for a short term. They saw it from beginning to completion. But when he describes the relationship between he and Philemon, it is the Greek word synergos and koinonos. What that relationship is it is one that it is two people working together long term, not short term. They're in it for the long haul to make something happen. They are walking hand in hand. In fact, he even goes so far as to use the terms that are described that are used to describe the implements in the temple. In other words, these were items that in the world they have limited value, but once they are turned over to be used exclusively for God's work, they are holy and separated. So Paul describes that relationship as believers as being one that is holy and separated to God's work. So a great healing takes place between Philemon and Onesimus based on the respect that he has for Paul and the time that Paul has spent working with and developing Onesimus, even though he was a prisoner. So it is an amazing time, an amazing event. Jim, before we go any further with this, is there anything you would care to share about maybe the lessons that you've picked up as we've gone through this book, maybe some high points or questions or ideas, maybe just something that really stuck out to you that you could share with our listeners?
Well, Pastor, it occurred to me as every time we get into this, something comes to mind, and you said that he was in the same prison as Paul. Yes. I think the answer is obvious, and I think for any believer and one that particularly is deep in the Word, that's not an accident. I don't know how many prisons there were. I don't know, you know, how he, but you just told us he came to the prison that Paul was in. Not an accident.
Exactly.
how supernatural, and, you know, it just reminded me of when the brothers sold Joseph into slavery and how he was thrown in prison, how he rose and became the chief of the prison, and then how God had put him ahead of, knowing one day he was going to design a way to bring all of his family down to Egypt, and he used a drought. It's just amazing. In everything we study, there's no such thing as happenstance. And I think the key to what I'm, you know, asking here is, I think you already have an answer, is there's no such thing as luck, right?
Oh, that's very, very true. There is such a thing. The English word we use is providence. It's a fancy way of saying God got involved personally.
Right.
I think that's important for people to realize that God does get personally involved in our lives. And I think that's a word, a belief, that is very unique to people who take the word God to be literally.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to go along in your own strength, your own direction, and think, I did this. Look what I got done. All the while, completely oblivious to the fact that, no, it's a God of love, of grace, of mercy, incredible patience, watching over, guiding and directing and loving his children. Oftentimes putting us in places that we wonder, why do I have to be here? Only to find out a little further down the road that the reason we're here is it was somebody that we could witness to share the gospel with, maybe another believer we didn't even know up until that moment, that needed a little healing, needed an example, needed to see somebody else go through stuff too, and realize that God is faithful. So it's really important to learn that lesson, that God mm-hmm. is faithful. There are, as you say, no accidents, but there's incredible opportunities that come. The heaviest load that we're carrying, the greatest frustration we're carrying with us, it's also the greatest opportunity for God to step in and do something very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
The more you'd like to be a part of that, the quicker you have to learn to yield your will to God's perfect will. I think that's where the real power and difference comes into play. How much
right.
are we willing to turn over to him and be used? I think that's so important. And I certainly agree with you. Not a strictly a coincidence when those two people show up together. The one who is running from a man who Paul has ministered to and been ministered by, suddenly he can witness and lead to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I remind people that, you know, Onesimus' name literally means that here is a person who is of great value, and yet he had become to be seen as being worthless. That's why he was fleeing at the time. And yet God in his life restores great value. And I think if there's another lesson to learn in this passage, is that when you see people that you think you're ready to give up on, realize that God is still working in their lives. You're just seeing the
yep.
unfinished product. Perhaps what you're seeing is an Onesimus who's halfway between being a parent who visioned them of great value to that point when God sees the great value restored. So, to find that person that seems worthless, don't give up. I can assure you God has not. So, any other thoughts of what you've seen in the passage?
Well, you make me think about how God turned Paul's life around, and it's like, you know, they're in the movies now, they talk about that paying forward. You hear a great deal of time being spent, pay it forward. And here's Paul that made 180 degrees. I recall Jesus asked him, Paul, why do you kick against the goads, which I think are sharpened sticks? He says, why do you kick against the goads? In other words, why are you persecuting me, he asked. And now, as he was used by God, here he is changing it for everyone, not just Philemon, but, you know, Onesimus and those around him. And so I keep noticing, and I think you pointed out, you always never answer a question. You always bring it back to the Bible. And I love that because it's absolute instead of your opinion. But when we think about this, And we recognize God uses over and over again not the most gifted, not the strongest, not the prettiest, not the, you know, whatever. He uses such simple people, and you know, frankly, people like me. I feel like I have nothing that extraordinary. When we take pride in anything that we've accomplished, you have to kind of humble yourself sometimes, I think, and say, wait a minute. I didn't create my ability. I didn't create my mind. I didn't create, you know, no matter what your achievement, is it in academics or is it in sports? Is it, you know, some other talent or gift? You didn't create yourself. And yet God has used these very lowly people at times. I'm the smallest in my tribe. I'm the, you know, and he keeps using the smallest, the unpretentious, and using them for great works, and he holds them up time and time again in the Bible. And I think we pull away from this and say, that's how he can use me, because he's not looking for the best, the smartest, the strongest. He's looking for people that will give him time and return his affection, I believe.
I agree with you. I think that really is the value of a believer. That person who is willing to turn what they have over to God. And I think some people, they hear a statement like that and they're so afraid of letting go of a dollar that they think we're talking about money. But they don't realize we're talking about your life. You know, don't hold back. You know, if you're tempted to think, well, I couldn't do this, or I couldn't accomplish that, or I'm not a speaker, or whatever it might be, God can use you. I mean, he created you. Let him work with his creation. Let him build the best you there could ever be. You know, I'm not a prosperity preacher by any means, but what I do believe is that God can work in your life and give you the potential. Maybe the world will never truly value you. But if God, who creates you, loves you, sent his own son to die for you, if he finds merit in you and wants to work in your heart to touch other hearts, well, that has, to me, is value. That's where the real value comes into play. And I think that is so very, very important to understand. Now, just a moment, I want us to go in and now start taking those lessons that we saw from Philemon and look at a very practical way to take it into the local church. Because I think that is exciting, I think that's powerful, and I think if we only read the scripture but then don't apply it to our hearts, we're missing out. God's laid it out there for us, and we just haven't picked it up and started using it. So I'm just going to take a short break. I'm going to go back and remember a sample of a little song that Mark Bishop has shared, and he was kind enough to be with us a couple weeks ago, a song called The Nail That Nobody Saw. And after that little break, we'll come back, and we'll start looking at the example, the lessons, the practical applications of Philemon.
With only one word, they'd be 10,000 strong. The world counted three nails, but they counted wrong. For the nail that nobody saw was the nail that went through his heart. Oh, that was the nail.
I think there's a beautiful message in just about all of Mark's songs that you can grow, mature, and be blessed by, be comforted by. We do have a link currently on our website where you can make that connection to go to Mark's website and find out more about where he's sharing his music, where you can get a resource from. We don't make any financial portion of that from any sales you do there with Mark. Yes, happen to believe in supporting other believers who are doing God's work and are being faithful. So if you'd like to know how to get there, just go to our website at askthepastornow.com, and you can click on a link there to find out more about Mark Bishop and the work that God is doing through him. Now let's come back to our study in the book of Philemon. And as I said before, we've gone verse by verse, and we've devoted a lot of time to it, and we've touched a recap on it this evening, so you brought up to speed. But the lessons of Philemon and the message of the center of God's relationship, we're terming it that, among believers, we believe have an application, in fact, many applications within the local church. And so I'm going to give you three examples that you can look at and take and grow with. So especially if you're a pastor, but regardless, if you're just simply plugged in at your church, or maybe you've been holding back for some reason, this will be your chance to be plugged in. Why not take some notes and get some paper and pencil handy and jot these things down, or go back and re-listen to the program later, perhaps even share it with some of the leadership at your church. First item we're going to look at is creating great employment opportunities within the local church. Now, I'm not suggesting that suddenly you start running one ads and things of that nature. I'm not talking about, we're going to hire more staff tomorrow. Here's what I'm referring to. Remember the relationships that we saw in the book of Philemon. Paul, he really was a mentor both to Onesimus in sharing the gospel, but also helping him to learn as a believer, this is where you stand. And if you think about it, Onesimus had been very much pigeonholed into just one role. There's also Onesimus, the one who had so much potential, and yet at this point in life, he was the one that was so much in need. And Philemon, he was profitable. He was a success story. He had people that worked for him. He had slaves that worked for him. But the point is, he was a person of influence within a business community, if you will. And so now consider those three roles, the mentor, the one in need, the one perhaps who had been pigeonholed at less than. And I'll put it to you this way. There are people in every congregation who are either looking for work or perhaps they are employed, but way underemployed. And you know it. You realize they could do more. You see them every day. But they have fallen into a trap of taking a job rather than a career, having an opportunity rather than the best opportunity. Within each church family, God has greatly blessed us with people who are business owners and have been successful by putting godly principles into place. There's also people who are God's people, maybe working in a secular organization, who are hungry for good people. And maybe that individual is either the person who has hiring authority or maybe even in their HR department. However the case might be, you've either got folks who are business owners who can directly hire, or people of influence within a business who can influence the hiring. And that's the team that you put together in a Sooner Gospel application in the local church. Now, consider this. A small group is formed. You have a Paul type, a leader. This might be a staff person. It could be a lay person who's committed to this assignment, who will coordinate the efforts, who will make this thing happen. But I do encourage, as these systems grow, because the beauty of this is it doesn't matter whether you have a particularly small church or a huge mega church. This could work. So if it's a small church, maybe you have one group. If you're a mammoth church, then maybe you have hundreds of groups, and that's perfectly fine. The issue is you grow to meet the need of the opportunities. So you have the one who takes on the role of leader. This is the person who comes with a degree of compassion, of wisdom, strength, and direction. And they will work with the Onesimuses within the congregation. Jim, I hope you appreciate that I took on the challenge of pronouncing Onesimus in the plural. I know even pronouncing Philemon can be a challenge, but the Onesimuses in our Onesimi in the congregation, you may have one person. Maybe you're, again, a small church, and the person who will be that leader can work with that person one-on-one. Perhaps I would suggest having a group no larger than about 7. 8 seems to be a really good number to work with. You've got that leader, you've got that 7. And commit to work with those people. Commit to do that for each week, for a period of 10 weeks. And we have some resources we think you will find a blessing and that they can work with, and we're developing other materials as we go along. And so what would happen is that one, the Paul type, would work with the Onesimus types, 1 to 7 individuals. They'll have reading assignments, they'll have work assignments, polishing a resume. Perhaps they've never even written a resume. They filled out forms at an hourly paid job. And they're going to learn how to do a resume. They're going to learn how to make the right kind of interview, to learn how to approach people, to make cold calls. This may be a person who would be terrified to, you know, even call on a toll-free number on a late-night commercial. Suddenly, they're going to learn how to make calls that will change the home, change their opportunities. That individual has to commit to change. And frankly, this doesn't have to be an individual all to their lonesome. It could be an entire family. I mean, you know, a mother and a father wishing to move forward could be an incredible example to maybe kids that are finishing up high school or about to start college or maybe even heading off to college. Show them the example. Let them learn the skills as well to this approach of employment and success through what we call Synergos. So you have an Onesimus. You have the leader working with those Onesimus people. And they experience change. They experience growth. And guess what? The Philemons also step into play. Because these people that you've been training, developing, teaching, giving them an opportunity, they're going to need a Philemon, someone who will be ready to spend some time with them, maybe come in around the third or fourth week and maybe do some mock interviews, get them some practice so they're not totally dumbfounded or make little mistakes that can be corrected rather quickly with just simple experience and an atmosphere of people who love and care about them, the body of Christ. Likewise, these Philemon types can be the people who, as I said before, had hiring authority. They can be ready to open up doors of opportunity because as they also are seeing these people develop and seeing their skill set improve, they're going to start looking at them a little different. You know, 6-7 weeks ago, they saw this person as someone that was pigeonholed as a clerk somewhere. Suddenly they realize, you know, they actually got some good leadership skills and they're pretty good speakers. And I didn't even know they had that prior experience. So it may be that you'll want to open up an opportunity for one of these folks. But then likewise, maybe you're ready to hire outside of the box, a non-traditional hiree. Maybe you see in that person a leader that before you didn't see, and maybe you've always gone to just one source for, you know, new managers. Suddenly you find in your own local church people of character, commitment, who have gotten some polishing through this approach, and now you're ready to give them an opportunity. So there is how it might work within a job application. Within a local church, you find someone who's willing to step up and be the leader, the synergos man or woman. Working with a team of up to 7 Onesimus types who are committed to change, committed to work hard, read hard, study and apply themselves to grow like they've never grown before. And they meet up with the Philemons and their church family who are ready to hire outside the box, the non-traditional approach, open the doors of opportunity, and even help with the process of, you know, mock interviews and feedback. And they will have an opportunity in that process to see just how special these other members of the body of the Christ are. Jim, what do you think of that approach? What do you think? How would that work?
Well, I think it would work wonderfully. I think it's, Pastor, it's radical. You know?
Oh, yes.
I think of, there is a young man that goes from building to building in downtown Houston where I work, and he comes to see us once or twice a week. He is our shoeshine guy. And I can't call him a shoeshine boy because he's too old for that. But the interesting thing, his name is DJ, and I'm going to, next time I see him, I'm going to ask him to tune in and hear what I've got to say about him. But he's got such a great spirit. And we were talking, and I thought, there is a little cobbler where I get my shoes resoled and, you know, the old-fashioned cobbler and heels. I thought, wouldn't this be great if he and this guy could hook up? He sees shoes all day long, and obviously if he could work out a way to take the shoe, get it repaired, and he could increase his business. So I worked out a little flyer. I said, here, DJ, this is just a recommendation. And I said, you're not a shoeshine man, okay? Number one, you are a footwear consultant. we laughed about it. A footwear consultant. And, you know, if you're a waitress, you're not a waitress. You're a food consultant. You are, you know, and it tickled me because isn't that the way you could go pay for a resume, and isn't that what they do? They change it to where it's more palatable, makes us perhaps grander than we are. And I think it does. I think what you're really saying to us is you have helped lift that person's expectations in life, his view of himself, a more favorable image of himself, which I think is what so many of us just need, is somebody to tell us how valuable we are. I mean, for goodness sakes, when you really boil it down, how valuable are we? We are precious, so precious. God gave us Jesus. And so I think you've got a wonderful idea here, and I think we could expand on it just with a little cutting up I've done with the shoeshine guy.
There you go. You know, Onesimus had a lifetime of being told he was a nothing. He had a lifetime of being told he's little more than a slave. And yet, with a Paul telling him, no, you've been created in the image of God, and that Jesus Christ was willing to die for you and go through all that he went through for you. Isn't it high time that Onesimus raised himself up and realized that God can do a work in my life? And we have both the blessing and the shock to realize that Onesimus is walking throughout our congregations who need that opportunity, who need somebody who will believe in them and give them that opportunity to move forward. God has blessed us with the leaders in every congregation. They are working in various ways. Sometimes, sadly, though, we ignore them as well. You know, we're so impressed with them that we ignore them. We already have somebody who might be a deacon. We already have somebody leading the music. We already have somebody teaching the class. And then this person who is in the business world and they own their own business, they're successful, and the best we'll do is you remind them, you know, don't forget your tithe. Don't forget a special offering. How about the skill set that God has blessed that person with and developed in that person that they use every day leading a business that they could use to turn people's lives around? Let us find the Onesimuses in our congregation who are ready to commit to 10 weeks of study and preparation and excitement to develop a new opportunity in their life with the help of someone who's willing to be a Paul to step forward and saying, I'll teach, I'll lead, I'll count them along, I'll read through the books, I'll go through the material with them, so I'm on the same page with them quite literally, and I'll hold them accountable. I'll check with them and see, where are you? Have you worked on that? Have you made a list? Have you made a phone call? What have you done? And oh, the Philemon's, it's time for you to get out of the box too, to be willing to hire outside of tradition and to be willing to open up some doors and to be willing to make the mock interviews. You never thought of doing that. You might have even had somebody in church that's been a little irritation to you and you're frustrated with. Mm-hmm. You might find out that that's the person you're going to connect with best. So be ready to open up the opportunity as God provides. It's a very special opportunity. That's the concept, in essence, that we talk about. By the way, to make that work, it takes a great resource of helping a person find the best position to know how to go through those steps. And we have a resource that does that over a 10-step period. And like I say, we're going to be communicating that, probably not through our website, but rather through our newsletter. And Jim, why don't you tell people, take a moment to share with them how they can go about getting the newsletter. So when these resources are available, we'll have a way to communicate to those who are interested and, you know, other opportunities as well. Maybe this isn't what you're immediately interested in, but if you want to know what have we got, what are we doing, and some great teaching, they need to know about this. Jim, how would they do it?
Well, one way, and Pastor, do we ever even have to say any longer www, World Wide Web? Does everybody get that part? We could go to...
Well,
you think we
go
do?
Go to where?
I think you could go to www.writelions.com. That's writelions.com. And I think you'll find all of the resources on that one page.
And
what about Ask the Pastor Now? Can we use that?
We can use that too. And with or without the www, they can go to askthepastornow.com and get the information. But since I mentioned the newsletter, how would they go about finding the newsletter?
Oh, well, Pastor, I know it's on the website. Help me out.
And for that matter, those who are listening to the broadcast tonight on Blog Talk Radio, if you look down below your screen, you're going to see a line there that says, be the first to know about Syndergaard's resources.
Sign up here.
It's
in blue on my screen with an underline and exclamation point.
And what does that normally mean when you're on the World Wide Web?
I think all you have to do is click on that. Am I right?
Oh, you are so good.
They don't give these jobs to monkeys, Pastor.
You might not be a Paul or a Philemon. I think you're more of the Philemon type. You're ready to go ahead and open up opportunities. that's for sure.
I'm technically challenged. There's no doubt about it.
So, friends, if Brother Jim can find it, you can find it too. Just look down below the screen, and you'll see, be the first to know about Syndergaard's resources, and you can sign up there just by clicking. There does look like a rather long form there to fill out. Don't panic. Normally, all we ask for is just simply your name and email address. In fact, then only the first name. Tonight, we're asking for a little more information, and whether tonight is tonight or whether you're listening to this a week from now or a year from now through the archives, go ahead and give us the extra information, because we'd like to be able to send something perhaps by, we'll go down memory lane and what's that term, the postal service. I think they may still be around. We may opt to actually send you something more tangible than an email. Certainly for the newsletter, a first name and an email will do it. But if you give the other information, there's resources we can actually drop in the mail and possibly be a blessing to you with. So do take that few extra moments to give a complete filling of the form.
Pastor, go ahead. Do we solicit them? Do we send them any kind of mail? Do we send them any offers through the mail? Do we sell their information on the World Wide Web? Do we do any of that?
No, we don't. And despite that supply of Ginzu knives you've got, no, we won't be sending those out. And the 10 Disciples steak knife set will just have to wait for another time. But no, we're not going to do that to you. And I do hope people realize we're being humorous with that part, believe me. But no, we do not sell the list. We do not send them out. We don't beat you over the head with buy this. We realize that these are resources we think would be great. We're in the process of developing them. Some are ready. Some are in transit. And so we just want to let you know when they're available. If you have that need and want to take advantage of it, great. But by the same token, there's contact information there, because maybe you say, well, I've already got my ideas. I know what I can run with, but I've got some questions. Could you help us? Just send us an email, and, we can certainly be praying for you. And likewise, it may be something we've already gone over and figured out what the best answer for is, or found some people that can help. So, let us be a resource that can be a blessing to you. If there's something we can help with, if it's just a matter that you say, well, I just want you to know that this has been a blessing, this has been a help, and we'd love to hear that. But we're not trying to market you. All we're trying to do is just have a line of communication where we can share with you what's going on. I'll let you know what's available, that kind of thing. So that's the whole function here.
Yes.
Now, what I started to mention just a moment ago is that we described the way this application could work for people looking for a better job and a better opportunity. Let's focus on better opportunity for a moment. Sometimes the opportunity is that here's a person sitting in church. They love the music program. They've always wanted to be a part of the music program. But maybe they just felt like, I just don't know who to talk to. I don't know how to get plugged in or get started. And, I've been a music leader at a church before, and one thing I can tell you, that's a constant hunger, is to find people who are ready to step up and get involved. But sometimes you need a little orientation, a little help to get there, and you say, well, but how can I do it? Well, let's look at the same model again. Paul, Onesimus, Philemon. So in this case, Paul might be a very qualified musician, vocal or an instrumentalist. And they take on the challenge. Maybe it's the music director. Maybe it's somebody who would work on behalf of the music director while the music director takes care of all the other music programs for the church. This one person is going to be going out there and organizing a small group of the Onesimus musicians, people who have wanted to do music, but, well, they don't know even the right questions to ask. They love to sing, and or maybe they love to play an instrument, but they never really thought of themselves as a musician in church. So you begin developing material and opportunities for them. And pretty soon the Philemon also step up. These might be people who are leaders in the various parts of the choir, the soprano, leader, alto, tenor, or bass. Most choirs have one person who's particularly strong. A more formalized choir will actually have an actual leader for each section. Also true, if the church has a small group or maybe a small orchestra or a band that plays for services and leads in music, well, they have an instrumental leader. And so there might even be one for the brass or the woodwind, the string, percussion, or maybe a general leader. But they're the ones that are going to be hungry and looking for the person who can step up and be the new person in the band or the new person in the bass section or the tenor section or alto or soprano or a good soloist. So again, we have the qualified musician, a Paul, working with the Onesimuses, the ones, you know, they just never really were valued. They came in the church and somehow they got slipped to the back and we've been missing out on them. So now we find them, we give them an opportunity to spend maybe 10 weeks working with the qualified musician. Find out where their talents or skill are, maybe give them a little extra opportunities, and they begin meeting up with a Philemon type who will bring them into the choir and say, come with me. Next Wednesday night when we practice, come with me, sit with me. I'll show you where you get the music. I'll show you, you know, how we do things. Well, Sunday morning, come with me. I'll have to get a rope. Whatever you might do at your church, this is the way you can do it. Mold it, customize it, run with it. Again, we'd love to help you with this, but it's a way to find those people who are the Onesimuses that have been sitting in the background to step up and move forward. You know, like Jim, any ideas musically? Have you been waiting to jump out for your great opportunity?
Well, I do get to church an hour before we start, just to watch them work and prepare. And it's amazing. They get there early. They spend a lot of time preparing and you know, and it's a testimony. And I just look at them and I think, I wished I had that gift because I love music. I know you do. When we had Mark on the program, it was just wonderful. What a gifted singer and songwriter. And so I see these folks, and I love just kind of singing along from the front row while they're preparing. So I know for them it's enjoyment, and they are giving their talents to God, and it's a witness. And it's so pleasurable that I get to have music before everybody else gets there. So I just think for all of those in our church that are singers and play the instruments and lead the singing, phenomenal job. Looks hard to me. They're always smiling. Looks easy to them, I guess, but it's it looks like a very hard job. And yet they would probably think hosting an internet radio program is hard. It's not easy. It's real easy, isn't it, Pastor?
Lots of fun. Just keep all the little lights on. That's all you got to do.
Right.
And besides, that technically makes us professional talkers, and little did we know we've been preparing for that for years, right?
Yes.
You know, there's another opportunity that I see, and I think as you start to learn this concept, you'll be surprised the opportunities you'll find. One of the other things I thought about was, you know, creating great teaching opportunities within the local church. Again, Paul, you know, not only a missionary, but really he has been a teacher of teachers throughout generations. We still go back to this material, not just for Bible study and blessings, but example. You know, I know missionaries that have studied his methods to learn how to be great missionaries. Well, teachers also look at Paul and the way he worked with the folks. And so why not? A teacher in your congregation who's a particularly strong teacher, maybe they have strong skills in that area. Maybe they do it professionally. Maybe they're an administrator. Or perhaps they're just that teacher in the Bible study class that everybody wants to be in their class, you know. Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so, it's always been such a great blessing. Why don't they take a group of Onesimus types who have always dreamed of being a teacher, but frankly, they, you know, there's that stage fright that comes in and lack of skills or thinking, well, I need to master theology first. And, you know, we do like you to know the Bible. We do like you to get in there. The Bible uses an interesting little phrase that not a novice, unless you're blown up with pride. But don't you think those are items that can be taught and studied? Yeah, you talk about stage fright. I remember the time I was absolutely terrified at the thought of speaking. And now, you know, the part that becomes terrifying is having to stop talking. So, you know, there is a transition point out there somewhere. I was actually somewhat tickled. And starting next week, I'm going to be working with a group. And what's interesting is the first time I met with those groups, they made the mistake of having the clock behind me. And so I didn't see what time it was. And I think Jim knows this story. And what was so sad was, I mean, people were kind. They seemed to enjoy it. But I was actually asking the question, how much time do we have left? And we eventually wrapped up. And when I turned around and looked at the clock, I realized I'd been going 2 or 3 hours. So, you know, it pays to have a clock in front of me when I'm speaking. but the point, there was a time when, like I say, no, that would never have happened. I was struggling to fill a, you know, 10, 15, 20-second block. So if you're one of those folks that suffer with stage fright, don't panic. You would be amazed at what God can do through you. If you feel like, well, I don't really have teaching skills are taught. It's not, you know, the magical gift people think it is. God can develop those talents and those skills. That's when it becomes a gift, when God simply starts blessing it. And the best way for him to bless it is for you to start developing it. Theology, you learn the Bible by studying the Bible in a methodical way. And that's what a teacher can do for you. So we're looking for folks who would be willing to be a teacher of teachers. Develop those who have the dream but need to get over their stage fright or a few lack of skills or a more solid base for how to study the Bible. And that'd be a great teaching assignment in itself. And guess what? There's Philemon's out there, established, successful teachers who are ready to mentor. Maybe say, come with me. You've gotten some other things under your belt. Now come with me. Let me spend some time with you. Come into my class and, you know, help me, assist me, teach portions, help me, assist me. And then eventually they have a class of their own. So teaching opportunities with the synagogue approach, you find that teacher of teachers who's willing to develop a group who have the dream, but just simply need the skills refined, who are then ready to work with a Philemon type, a teacher who's ready to mentor. And to me, that's just another natural example of taking the lessons from the book of Philemon and applying them. Again, Jim, your thoughts?
Well, first, I am, as always, very impressed. I never thought we could get through 3 programs and still have more to talk about. But I would just wonder if you could take us just fast forward. We know that Paul is, he will be executed. We know that. But fast forward and tell me what you think these others that experienced this and watched God's hand at work, what their lives were like 5, 10 years into the future, and how the Bible was spread throughout the land as a result of one-on-one, then two, then the others that were listening, from a simple, I say simple, from a letter that obviously is not simple, because I told you last week or the week before, when you open my book up, my King James version of the Bible, it's giant print, but Philemon's on one page. Mm-hmm. And there's all of this, these nuggets and all of this experience. So fast forward and tell us what you think 5 years later, 10 years later has evolved from this letter.
Well, I'm excited, first of all, to say it's gone from one page to thousands and thousands of hearts. And I hope that those hearts will take the message of Synagogue and Philemon and use it to change the world. starting with their local church, with incredible opportunities, incredible blessings for those people who feel frustrated in the shadows and are just hungry for an opportunity. The Onesimus of our congregation need an opportunity. And if you really want a crystal clear example of what happened when these lessons were put into play, just remember, if you're listening to this and you're a born-again believer and you're part of a local church, realize that it had to have worked, because people went out there and taught others and shared the gospel, who reached other people, who went out and spread the gospel, and missionaries and churches were established. And those people who felt like they didn't have a chance suddenly found they did, and they could share the gospel generation after generation. You begin to realize that if you really, you know, I'm amazed when I see commercials and they're sponsoring to do genealogies and to study your family heritage back. People are so excited if they can find out, said, well, you know, I can trace my ancestry all the way back before they arrived in America. How about if you could ever take the time and trace it all the way back to your spiritual parents, the ones that first heard the gospel at the feet of Jesus? That, to me, would truly be amazing. The gospel has spread in a phenomenal way. The synagogue's approach is just exciting, because what it does is it works at taking barriers down, spreading the gospel in a wonderful and powerful way. I think that is so special. And is there a history to it? Oh, I think so. Nobody's bothered to catalog it, and it's just as good, because our best and biggest computers and our network of computers, if we turn them loose on it tonight, would not be able to track all the names. And yet, when we meet our Savior face to face, He'll know each and every one of them by name, know their story, and He'll know how deeply He loves each and every one of them. So let's be thankful for that. Not that we will struggle to try to remember the names, but that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the book that counts. That's the name placement that counts. So whether you're a Paul, an Onesimus, or a Philemon, be thankful that God knows your name, has it written down. And we look forward to that very, very special time. Speaking of time, once again, it has dashed away from us. So redeeming the time, Jim, I'm going to give you a moment, to be precise, I think about a minute and a half, to share your closing thoughts with our listeners.
Well, first of all, Pastor, thank you for teaching us, and thank you for bringing out more than I ever thought this little book, this letter, would ever give us. But I think every time we're on the air, we appreciate the opportunity. For those that are listening that have not given their heart to Jesus and would like to say, how do I become a Christian? We always refer you to chapter 10 of Romans. And the ninth verse says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The next verse says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you would just confess your sins and say, Lord, I'm ready to follow you, and I believe that Jesus died for me and that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved that very moment. It's not something you have to wait on. It's instantaneous if you're sincere. Right, Pastor?
That is so very true. You can trust God. That's the best way I can put it. You can trust God. It's not a religion. It's not a teaching. It's not something we've come up with. What it is the promise of God. So, and that's why we point you back to Romans. That's why we don't point you back to just our philosophy on it. We point you back to God's Word. So I encourage you to do that. Encourage you to click on the sign up here to get more information. Really encourage you to come and join us again next week as we continue our study in the Word of God, and hope that you'll be a part of that very wonderful, special time together. Good night.
Good night, Pastor.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.